I want us to pay attention to this scripture tonight. I don't come to you with a sermon, or I don't feel like that it is. It's just a thought and a burden that has been on my heart for a week or so. And I have a scripture to read to you tonight, and we're going to talk about it for a little while. So I want you to listen to these verses of scripture, or one verse of scripture, verse number 42. Mark 9:42. And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea. I want to read that one more time. And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea. Dear Lord, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for the gathering in your house. I'm unworthy to stand before these people tonight, Lord, and preach your gospel. I pray, Lord, for your strength and your anointing, your grace, as only you can speak to our hearts as individuals. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. The church said amen. Amen. You may be seated. Whoever offends a little one that believes in me, Jesus said, God will deal with that person. It is better for that person to take a millstone and hang around his neck, throw him out in the sea, than for the things that God, amen, will deal with that person. I was thinking today, amen, about God has enemies. When, you know, somehow it was brought about how that the Bible talks about God having enemies. And I know that God in His grace and mercy, and God delights in mercy. That is, amen, an attribute of God. And any person, whether they're an enemy or not, if they'll humble themselves to God and submit themselves to God, God said, I'll turn and I'll repent of the wickedness and the iniquity and the judgment that I have thought against that person. And I will bless them and help them. Amen. Any person, no matter how far they've gone, amen, God still reaches for that individual or individuals. But God cares for different groups. God cares for children. God cares for weak people. God cares for strangers. Did you know that? Amen. God cares for strange people. God cares for everyone. Amen. And He has laid out for us, amen, a very important teaching in His Word that I believe the Lord has laid on my heart, amen, to preach to us tonight. If we offend one of these little ones that believe in me, there is a great danger in our life. We must be very careful about how we deal with each other. I want to tell you right now, amen, that we have a duty to the weak. Not just children. It's not just talking about little children here, even though that God, amen, places us and gives us responsibility. Amen. I want to tell you children tonight, amen, God placed you in the home that you're in. God put you there. Amen. God ordained it. Amen. You had no choice. We have no choice. We can't choose our parents. Amen. We had no choice in that. And even these children that God has blessed us, amen, come into our life, amen, through other means than our own self, these that we've adopted, amen, they really basically had no choice. They was too young. Victoria was just, you know, just a few days old, amen, when we made that choice that we would pursue it. Blake, amen, is two years old tonight. And my wife was there in the hospital. Amen. When he was born, and he had no choice. As a little child, he couldn't wave his arm and say, "Hey, you know, I don't want this mama. She's got a big nose, or I don't want this. I don't want him for my dad. Look at those big old ears he's got, you know," or something like that. You know, when you're a child, you have no choice on who you're going to choose, whose your parents are going to be. God chooses that. Amen. That is totally out of our control. Life is full of choices. We can make choices that are good choices that benefit our life, and we can make bad choices that are detrimental to our life. But this is a choice that we do not have the power over. Now, I know that there are some instances in the day and hour in the society we live in where there are courts that will ask that child, "Do you want to go to mama, or do you want to go to daddy, or do you want to go to grandpa, or do you want to go to grandma?" Or, you know, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, as a whole, every one of us had no choice in our parents or in the situation that we would be in. Amen. Even though I'm not the biological, amen, dad of these, I'm their dad, and they had no choice in it. It was my choice. It was the judge's choice. It was the state of Texas' choice. You understand? Amen. But I have a choice, amen, to honor God's choice. You see, God made that choice. Amen. And then we have a choice to honor God's choice. And what God has chosen, we have, amen, we must honor what God has chosen. Now, I want to preach to you tonight, amen, there are stumbling blocks in this life. Matter of fact, Jesus said it was impossible that stumbling blocks would not come. Amen. Offenses will come and stumbling blocks will come. We live in a day and we live, amen, in an hour where there are so many oppositions. Can you imagine living a Christian life without opposition? That's almost unimaginable, ain't it? There's coming a day. Amen. There'll be a millennial reign on this earth, on this same earth. I don't know if we'll be in Texas. I don't know if we'll be in Oklahoma. I don't know if we'll be in Ohio. I don't know if we'll be in Arkansas. I don't know where we'll be. Amen. We might. But we will reign on this earth for 1,000 years if we make it in that first resurrection. Hallelujah. Thank God. Amen. Praise God. No opposition. The devil's going to be bound all of those 1,000 years. The Bible said that an angel will come with a great chain in his hand and throw that old dragon. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Throw old Satan. He'll bind him with that great chain. You think about that. One angel's going to bind up that old devil. Hallelujah. Praise God. Somebody said, if I could get close, I'll tell that angel, hold him right there just a minute. I'm going to give him one big kick for all the trouble he caused me. I don't know about that or not, but there'll come a day where we'll live for God with no opposition. But it ain't right now. There's opposition. There's offenses. Amen. We get offended. Amen. We must be careful against offenses. We must be careful ourselves as how easy we are offended. Amen. But there are weak ones. Amen. That are easily offended. And these children are one. God has placed me over my children, and I can direct them in a way where they would hate God. I can direct them in a way where they would hate the church. I can direct them in a way where they would hate every preacher. I can direct them, amen, in ways that I choose. Amen. Now I know God in His mercy has reached down and picked people up, amen, that their parents, you know, maybe put beer in their bottle. I've heard about that. I can't imagine that. My dad was preaching, amen, is preaching my whole life. Amen. My wife's dad, preacher, amen, preaching the gospel, praying for their children. My mom and dad praying, amen. My mother and father-in-law praying. I can't imagine, amen, you know, somebody setting them up on a bar stool, amen, man and going home with another woman other than, you know, my mom. I don't know anything about that. And I know in those instances, even God has reached out and saved those people. Amen. And God will save anybody that will come to Him, no matter who their parents are or what they've done. I'm not preaching along those lines. It doesn't disqualify you for salvation because your parents wasn't right with God. Matter of fact, God, amen, loves to reach way down below the bottom. One song said He reached way below the bottom for me that night. Amen. Another preacher said it's just like a bucket of apples. And He reached all the way down and got the most rotten apple He could find and pulled it out and said, that was me. Now I want you to know tonight, no matter who or what or where you come from, but I want to preach to us as parents. I want to preach to us as Christians tonight. I want to preach to us as brothers and sisters in this church. Amen. Because whether we're the parents of one of these children or whether we're a brother and sister of a newcomer in the church, we have a duty. Amen. And we have a responsibility. And there is an awesome, amen, requirement in us, amen, to not offend a weak one. And if you do, it'd be better for you, he said, to hang a big old stone around your neck and somebody throw you out there in the sea. Because God cares for the weak. God cares for the struggling ones. This does not mean, amen, that we as weak ought to just, oh man, I'm weak. No. We have a responsibility to get stronger and care for others. We have a responsibility to start praying more. Amen. God knows the heart of every man and every individual. Amen. But we have a responsibility. Amen. With children, as parents, we have a responsibility. Amen. With strangers, as brothers and sisters of God, in God. Amen. We have a responsibility as children of God to reach out and help those that are in need. Oh, God, help us. Amen. To do what the Bible says. Amen. And that is to bear one another's burdens. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Help us tonight. Amen. I believe the Lord wants to help us tonight and speak to our hearts in a special way. Every child of God has a responsibility, amen, to take in ourselves, amen, and to be ever so careful in how we offend the weak. Jesus uses this statement, little ones, children, young ones. Now I know as young people, you know, we get carried away. You got to understand, you know, I started preaching when I was 13. And I preached at least once a month. And I thank God for that opportunity, but you know, our turn come around about once a month, and I think back of some of those messages I preached. I mean, some of them wasn't even right. Let alone make sense. Thank the Lord I didn't carry on too long. That was one thing about me. I mean, just a couple minutes and we was good to go. And I think about some of them, man, you know, and some of the things that I've said and different things, and I remember some of those old sisters in the church. Tell me how good that I preached. Now, y'all gonna think this is funny right here, but I might cry about it. There's one old sister in the church. One time I sang, and she would request that I sing. And just trying to encourage me. Trying to, you preach good tonight. I mean, I preached 3 minutes and then probably couldn't even hear me, you know. I mean, if they heard me, they would have had to have their hearing aid up so loud, you know, everybody all had heard that whining, you know. I mean, here I was shy and, you know, almost couldn't even look over the pulpit, little old bitty, you know, kid, and, you know, trying to, you know, fulfill God's call in my life, you know, just all of that. But, you know, I believe that they understood the teaching of God's word and said, you be careful and don't offend that little one because he may not have it all right. Amen. But he wants to have it all right. You know, that our church sign out here says direction is more important than speed. You take somebody that's pointed the right direction, they might be mighty slow. They may not understand everything, but they're pointed the right direction. You take somebody else that's real fast, amen, and is careless about their choices and careless about decisions in their life, amen, and is easily swayed, and you let a little time go by, and the one that has got the right direction will be farther down the road in life and far better in life than that one that's fast on their feet. Maybe, well, let me just break this down. Maybe talents, abilities, charisma, you know, different things in their life that so much potential. And yet somebody else may be maybe a few steps behind. Young people, you may feel like, man, I'm always a few steps behind. Seem like I'm not the popular one. You know, I'm not the one everybody this or that. Amen. But if you got your, amen, direction right, praise God, there'll come a day, hallelujah, you'll be far down the road in life, amen, with a lot less heartaches. Come on, church, can you say amen? A lot less, amen, heartbreaks and things in your life. Amen. I believe it's our responsibility. We see these young people, amen, come back from camp on fire for God. Amen. I know it might burn out, but what if it don't burn out? You gonna put a wet blanket on one of these young people's fire? Throw a little water on their fire for God? I'll tell you what Jesus said. Jesus said it'd be better for us. We'd take our own rock, tie it around our neck. Somebody throw you out there in the middle of the sea. Don't that make you want to say, oh God, help me? I know in times, you know, we get wound up. I remember one young preacher, he got up and he preached. He said, I don't care if anybody helps me tonight or not, I'm going to preach. Man, I'm telling you, it seemed like that just kind of went over everybody the wrong way. And everybody set on him. You know, sometimes we may make wrong statements. Sometimes young people may get carried away. Sometimes young people may get a little rambunctious. Are y'all still with me tonight? I'm talking to you. But it is our responsibility to never offend them, stumble them. The weak are the easiest to cause to stumble. The young are the easiest to deter. The young, the weak, amen, these here that Jesus is talking about are the easiest ones. Amen. But remember what Jesus said. He said, you better be ever so careful. He said, because my heavenly Father is their heavenly Father. Amen. And God cares for the weak. Amen. Jesus, as a matter of fact, tells the story. And he said at the end of time, he said, amen, those are going to go into the kingdom of God and you're going to be cast out. He told that religious crowd in Jerusalem. He said, you'll be cast out and others will go in the kingdom of God. Amen. They looked at him, ready to kill him. Who are you talking to us like this? He said, there'll come a day when God will sit on his throne, and he said, he'll divide the sheep from the goats. And he said, he'll set the goats over on the right, on his left, and he'll set the sheep over on his right. And he said, he'll say unto those goats, amen, on the left, he said, God will say, amen, depart from me, amen, you workers of iniquity, he said, because I was hungry and you wouldn't give me anything to eat. He said, he'll say, amen, because I was thirsty and you wouldn't give me anything to drink. I, amen, was a stranger and you wouldn't take me in. I was naked and you wouldn't clothe me. I was in prison. I was sick and you didn't visit me. I was in prison and you didn't visit me. Jesus said, all of these over here on the left are going to say, oh God, when was you hungry and we didn't feed you? When was you thirsty and we didn't give you a drink? When did you need clothes and we didn't clothe you? When was you sick and we didn't come? When was you in prison and we didn't visit you? When? When? And he said that God will say, if you've done it unto the least of these, you did it unto me. He said he'll say to those on the right, come. Ye blessed of my Father, inherit a kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. He said, because I was hungry and you gave me meat. I was hungry and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in, naked and you clothed me, sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. He said, those that are on the right are going to say, oh, when did we, amen, see you hungry and feed you? When, you know, go down the list. He said, he'll say unto them, if you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. Amen. God taught us in the scripture, amen, that it's not about what we can gain, amen, to ourselves, but it is what we can give to the Lord. Matter of fact, he told us, amen, that the Lord taught us it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. Are y'all still with me tonight? I'm preaching about, amen, I don't have a title. I wish I had a title. It's better for a millstone to be hanged about his neck than to offend one of these little ones. Amen. The Bible tells us in Romans 14:1, him that is weak in the faith, receive ye. Amen. Romans 15:1, we then that are weak ought to bear, the infirmity. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Young people, you want a life of heartache and misery, always demand your own wants and desires. If you want a life of heartache and misery, always demand your own desires. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 9:22, to the weak became I weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. 1 Thessalonians 5:14, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, and support the weak. Be patient towards all men. Now, I'm not preaching here tonight for any individual, amen, to feel puffed up that they may be struggling spiritually. This is not a crutch. Amen. If anything, it's a call to come higher. But to us, amen, that are here tonight, amen, maybe that we see the weak, amen, I know you see them come in, man, they're on fire on Sunday, amen, and then, you know, by next Sunday, it seems like, amen, they're down and out or whatever, amen, instead of us being critical, God help us tonight, instead of us being critical, help us to be compassionate, amen, and help us to pray, and help us to support, amen, and help us to get under the load. Amen. It pleases God. Amen. When we help someone that is struggling. I said it pleases God when we help someone that is struggling. It pleases God when we do what is right. The Bible has a special order for parents. We have a special responsibility as a father to direct our house in the ways of God. Now, as pastor, I'm going to stand before God for my soul. But you also know that I'll stand before God for the responsibilities that I had as a pastor. Because it comes from God. Amen. And I will also stand before God, amen, for the responsibilities that I have and have had as a father and a husband. And so likewise as a wife, my wife, and every wife will. Amen. As that role that we have. And I know I'm not here to point out faults and failures, because I look in my life and I fall on my knees and say, God, make me a godly father. Make me a godly husband. It's so easy to point out my wife's faults. But in the place of prayer, God always puts his finger on me. Now I want to tell you something. If every one of us was honest and we went before God every time, I guarantee you, I am really confident about what I'm fixing to say. Even though I'm out on a limb, you know, this is a pretty sturdy limb. I guarantee you God hadn't told you about your wife's problems. Come on. Because ain't nobody holy enough there yet. Now, you know what I'm saying. I mean, I know there's situations God may deal with you about your spouse, you know, that there's somebody being lost or something like that. But I'm dealing with us as a church tonight, all right? I'm talking about, amen, it'd be better for a millstone to hang. Now, fathers, dads, husbands, let me tell you something. The Bible says, give honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. And the Bible says that if you don't, your prayers will be hindered. You ever feel like your prayers hit the ceiling? You might ought to go apologize to your wife the way you talked to her. How come I ain't getting no amens? Hey, I'm talking about the Bible. It's in the book of Peter. He said, give honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, that your prayers be not hindered. I've been there before. Y'all looking at me right now. We get this macho man mentality. And really, I believe that I have no right to talk to my wife about submission until I am totally submitted to God. If I am totally surrendered to God, amen, I believe God will take care of it anyways. And many times, it's just like an umbrella.
There's a big umbrella, and there's smaller umbrellas,
and that umbrella will protect you. Everybody has an umbrella from the demon powers of hell. God gives it to every Christian. But the reason some are protected better is because not only do they have their little umbrella, they got the bigger one over them. You got a little child that's serving God, she's got her little umbrella, but it's a small umbrella because she's still at home. You got a wife, she's got one, it's over the children. All of this is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. The next umbrella is a little bigger, the wife is carrying it, and the dad has the biggest umbrella. And then it just goes all the way up. Even our government holds an umbrella over us. The church has an umbrella. Come on now. There's demon powers, amen, that are up there in the heavens. The Bible talks about the powers of darkness, amen, the control, the prince of the power of the air, amen. When he says, amen, spiritual wickedness in high places, he's talking about the powers, the prince of the power of the air, amen, that up there, amen, in that second heaven, amen, where the war is going on right now and all their attention, amen, is right on this church. All their attention is right on your family. All their attention is right on your marriage. All their attention and all of heaven is fighting for us and all of hell is fighting against us. Amen. But where we are in the umbrella. Now I want to tell you something, wife. If you come out of that umbrella protection, amen, of your husband, amen. Oh God, there's many wives whose husbands are not saved and God has a special protection. You know, God will protect special people. Hallelujah. Amen. It's in His Word. He'll protect the widow. He'll protect the fatherless. Amen. He'll protect the weak. He'll protect the strangers. Amen. If God's not pleased when you look down on people from foreign countries or other cultures. Because they're children of God too. No matter their race, color, or creed. Matter of fact, he told the children of Israel, he said, be careful how you treat the stranger. God help us tonight, but this umbrella, amen, we've got, you know, maybe a young man, amen, mom has a little bit of bigger umbrella, dad holds that responsibility, amen, when that dad gets weak, oh, just like in a rainstorm, amen, he's got this bigger umbrella, but sometimes there's a break in it, sometimes there's a crack in it, sometimes there's a weakness there, amen, and therefore the children are affected, therefore the wife life is affected. Amen. You might not believe me, but it is our responsibility as a church to stay pure and right before God. Amen. God help us. Amen. Oh God, have mercy. But there are instances, amen, where leadership is wrong and leadership is not right. Amen. And it is affecting the congregation. It is affecting individuals. Now I want to tell you something tonight. I've done waded out way deep here tonight. Amen. I said we're way out here. Amen. But God said don't offend these weak ones. Amen. I want to tell you something, Father. Instead of pointing out everybody's flaw in your family, amen, try to make ourselves better. Can I hear a big amen? I know this is not Father's Day. Amen. I tell you what, wife, instead of just pointing out all the flaws in your husband, amen, why don't you help him fix his umbrella? Hallelujah. Amen. Why don't you help him fix his umbrella? Amen. Why don't you encourage him? Amen. Come on, let's pray, honey. Amen. Come on, let's seek God a little while or however you can. Hallelujah. I want to tell you something. Amen. That God help me. I better be careful right here. Lord, help me, Jesus. Amen. It's our responsibility to care for the weak. God placed somebody under you or with you. Maybe they're weak. Maybe they, you know, don't have it all right. Who does have it all right? I heard the other day about Joel Hemphill. Y'all might have heard it. Him and LaBriska Hemphill. They was having a couples retreat and they're singing. Joel said, I want to know if there's any perfect husbands here. Nobody raised your hand. He said, I went a step further, said, does anybody know any man that is perfect? He said, this man raised his hand up. He said, I said, sir, are you perfect? He said, no, but my wife's first husband was. Lord help him on the way home that night. I mean, who in here can say we're without flaw or without weakness in our life? Ain't you glad that every time we stumbled, the Lord or somebody was there to pick us up? Instead of beat us on down a little bit further. The Bible said, lift up the hands that hang down. Strengthen the feeble knees. And I'm through preaching tonight, but I just came with the one thought. I know I stumbled all around and went all different directions. But it is this right here. Jesus said it'd be better to tie a rock around our neck and throw us into the depths of the sea than to offend one of these little ones. We as parents make choices for our children. We better make it prayerfully. It's our responsibility to take them to the house of God. It's our responsibility to support them in prayer. I had a family member, kind of a distant family member, whose son, you know, close to me, and he got an experience from God one time. Now, I remember when we was back there at the gathering or whatever. No, I mean, we was just teenagers, we was kids, we, you know, carrying on, disobeying, disrespectful, different things. Now I'll never forget her saying, I thought you was filled with the Holy Ghost. She was using that against him when he was just a teenage kid. He's far from God tonight. And I don't place it. There was a lot of other choices or whatever. I'm not getting into that. We got to be careful how we offend the little ones, the weak ones. Stand together with me tonight. I'd like for us to come and find a place to pray. I wish I could have preached to you better. Hope that I got the message across tonight. Let's gather in for a time of prayer if we would. Ask God to help us. Ask God to touch us.